time to die. You've got to hand it to those climate protesters. Did you see on the news this week that some protesters had rented a large truck and then blockaded a bridge in Melbourne in peak hour? They unfurled their banners and slogans and unabashedly withstood the scorn and disgust of not only thousands of people held up in traffic, but probably millions of people around the country who derided them when they heard the news. These protesters carried out their plan to proclaim their message, knowing that it would lead to disdain, arrest, and probably imprisonment or fines. Well, they were arrested, and they will be imprisoned, at least for a couple of weeks. Whether or not you support their cause, as a Christian, I have to admire their boldness and their commitment. They are sold out to their cause, and they are willing to pursue the proclamation of their own gospel, even to their own detriment. Now, to be fair, it remains to be seen if they would be so willing to commit such brazen acts if they lived somewhere with heavier penalties, but credit where credit is due. We can denounce their unrighteous law-breaking, but admire their devotion, sacrificial spirit, and their confidence in this message, in their message. Now, I'm sure you can see where this is going. We Christians have a much more important message than that of climate protesters. Yet how many of us have half the devotion, sacrificial spirit, and confidence in our message? Did you know that Jesus calls you to that level and even greater levels of commitment than these protesters? He calls you to not only put your money and freedom and reputation on the line for him, but also your closest relationships and your very life. Jesus might ask you to die for him. Let me share with you some Bible. Check this out. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Also, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. Becoming a Christian means pursuing self-denial. It's baked into the whole affair. At the start, it means acknowledging your desperate need that only Jesus can meet. But it's not like if we abase ourselves at the door, then all the humility and submission ends. We are daily called to take up the implement of execution, the cross, and follow Christ who went to the cross in love for others. So wake up, sleeper. Your life is on the line. If you would save your life, you must give up yourself. Christ calls you not to self-care, not to me time, nor self-preservation. We are called to the radical sacrifice of our whole selves. It is there you will find your life. So therefore, anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. And no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. So what excuse shall we make for our less than complete cross-bearing today? Oh, I took up my cross yesterday. That's enough for now. I don't want to be a legalist. Or I began to plow this field for the Lord, but now it's time to look back. Look, it's our tendency to pursue the easy route, even in our faith walk. But I remind you that you are to take the hard path. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and those who find it are few. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Ours is the hard way, Your salvation is both the easiest and hardest thing you will ever experience. Easiest because it is all of grace given to you by God, but hardest because it will cost you everything. Count that cost and then pay it, for Christ is worth every cent. He is of surpassing worth, worth more than all the wealth of this world's riches combined. What can compare to him, our blessed Savior, he who made us and gave us breath, he who bears with us through every hour, he who gives you the Spirit to revive your soul? What can compare with him who upholds the entire universe by the word of his power, he who is the radiance of the glory of God? What should you not give for him? What suffering is too much to endure for him? What price is too high? What shame is too much? Brothers and sisters, let us endure great shame for Christ. Let us suffer trial and persecution and loss. Let us be willing to endure through beatings and court proceedings and slander and mistreatment. Let us be willing to lose home and family and finances and freedom. Let us be willing to endure through the corruptions of this present groaning creation, disease, through illness and despair. Let us endure all and lose all, if only we might gain Christ. Paul says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead." That's what he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 7 and 2:11. Paul also wrote to Timothy, "If we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." It's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13.